We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This week we're joined by Kate Ott, the Director of Preventative Services for Ontario County, and Christine Pullen, the Immunization Coordinator for Ontario County. Welcome.
Thanks,
good morning,
Corey.
Thank you.
You know, it's too bad, but this isn't a huge topic that everyone's literally talking about. Immunization. I mean, especially in the past several months, I feel like it's even ramped up even more with a lot of the measles outbreaks, not only, you know, nationally, but there's certainly been several instances here in Rochester.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a topic we've been talking a lot about in public health as well.
And again, it's one of those things that people have all heard about it, and some may be more educated than others, but that's kind of our purpose here today, is to kind of really dig in and let's, you know, uncover some of the myths. Let's talk about some of the facts. Can we start with immunizations? Is that how the government's trying to control us? Can we deny that that's a thing?
Immunizations are not how the government is trying to control
us. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yes, right. No. It's how the government is ensuring that particularly kids who are in school are healthy and well.
Of course. And, you know, of course, I'm kidding. But there are a lot of, unfortunately, people, many on YouTube, do have these kind of weird conspiracy theories. And that is one of the big reasons why many parents, you know, don't get their kids vaccinated, or that they just feel that they're unsafe. So let's kind of walk through this a little bit and just talk about vaccination. What was life like in the pre-vaccination area? What was it like before?
Well, if you look back at the early 20th century and you look at the leading causes of deaths for children, particularly little ones under the age of five, a lot of those had to do with sanitation and diarrheal illnesses, but a good portion of them had to do with communicable disease. Mm-hmm. So you think about things that we've not seen here in such a long time, polio, diphtheria, even measles,
smallpox.
Yeah. These were things that children were dying of on a regular basis, and that millions of people were sick with. So that's what it was like before vaccines came on the scene.
All right. Now, what is it like if a parent does go through the vaccination route, gets their kid with their immunizations in regards to kind of childhood illness and death?
Right. So vaccines are really a great public health accomplishment. They've saved thousands of lives. We don't have outbreaks of these diseases now. And kids are leading healthier lives and reaching adulthood at a much higher rate than they used to. So children who are vaccinated are protected. And the great thing about vaccine is that once you get a lot of vaccine into a population, herd immunity develops. And that's kind of a strange term. You think of cows and things when you think of herds, right? Yeah. But herd immunity is when your vaccination rate in your community is high, so that those who are vaccinated protect those who perhaps can't be vaccinated. So kids with immune systems that can't tolerate vaccines, mm-hmm. or the very young who are too young for vaccines. If we can keep those vaccination rates up, then those children are protected as well, and those members.
Sure.
I also have some rates here if you want to have
a few
rates.
Yes, absolutely, please.
For diphtheria, for the pre-vaccine era, estimated annually people getting sick were 21,000. Most recent reports have estimated for diphtheria is zero.
Okay, so essentially eradicated.
Exactly. Same with smallpox, 29,000 for the estimated annual in pre-vaccine era, and zero now. And then polio was 16,316 pre-vaccine era estimated annually, and also most recent reports were zero.
And I joked about it earlier that the reason that some parents might not get their kids vaccinated is because of conspiracy theories. I mean, there are those people that are on the fringe, but let's really dig into the reasons why, you know, the other reasons that parents don't get their kids vaccinated.
Well, that one right there itself is a huge one.
Is it really?
The problem is people have to make sure they know what they're reading. Is it research-based? Is it evidence-based? Is it, because anybody can put anything on the internet.
Sure.
And so
get your tinfoil
hat
on and spread whatever you want.
And then that's what happens if someone doesn't really have enough knowledge about it. And then they have peers that, or, you know, their friends all, they don't vaccinate. So then they read that and then they say, oh, yeah. And then they kind of follow that.
Well, and that point, too, it's kind of like the telephone game, right? Where you say one thing to somebody and then they tell the next person and it starts to alter as it goes to the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And eventually it's not even the same thing that was originally said. And yeah, that certainly seems like a big problem.
Sure. And some parents, they're just afraid. And, you know, we understand that in public health. We understand there are fears out there.
What are the fears exactly? What do they stem from?
Well, when you look back to our history as humans, as we've developed, you know, our hunter-gatherer relatives way back when, right? So when they saw, like, tiger tracks in the sand, you know, they knew there was a tiger up ahead because of their experience, right? So as humans, we're always trying to figure out why things happen. It's how we've survived as a people. So you're always trying to make those connections. So if I take my child for vaccines and then my child gets an illness, such as autism, because, you know, those sorts of symptoms develop at about those same ages you're getting vaccines, our brains automatically go to the one thing caused the other.
Must be those vaccines.
Must be the vaccines, right? Whereas two things can happen at the same time and be totally unrelated. So, you know, we understand parents are afraid. No parent wants to expose their child to something that they think might make them sick. So there are some real fears out there.
Sure.
So trying to get the message out there that vaccines are safe. If you look at the evidence, if you look at the science.
Well, there's this, you know, you spoke about autism. There was just a massive study, one, the biggest one in history, that said there is no connection between getting vaccinated and a higher chance of autism.
Correct. But people will go back to the study back in, I think it was the late 90s, 1998, I believe, the Wakefield study in the UK, where, you know, he supposedly, in this very tiny, poorly conducted study.
Small sample size.
Right. Found a connection. And unfortunately, that got published. And that's
where this stems from?
Yeah.
Being fraudulent, really.
Yeah, it was fraudulent. And that is a lot of what, this is sort of when it started. And we've seen the rates of, you know, measles go up in the UK and then around the world. And some of that is related directly to that. And then other folks over here who have capitalized on people's fears.
And we talked about this before, that, you know, in the era of polio, when people were sick with polio, people stood in line for hours to get the vaccine when the vaccine came out, because they were seeing their friends, their family, their loved ones either getting really sick and needing the iron lung or being paralyzed because they could actually physically see the disease happening. We sort of feel, because now that a lot of people haven't seen those diseases, haven't seen smallpox, they haven't seen
the effects on the body and the devastation,
And so then now, like in 2000, the year 2000, the United States had basically deemed measles eradicated.
Right.
But then in 2014, out in Disneyland, there was some cases. And so you're starting to see it come back because people aren't vaccinating.
Right. Again, speaking with Kate Ott, the Director of Preventative Services for Ontario County, and Christine Poland, the Immunization Coordinator for Ontario County as well. And, you know, it's interesting. So this study that you referenced earlier that said, well, there might be a connection between autism and vaccinations, this came out in the 90s. Do you think that it kind of gained traction thanks to the internet? I mean, and you know, quote unquote, information being so readily accessible?
Yeah, absolutely.
And celebrities. I mean, Jenny McCarthy didn't help that by any means. You know, I mean, people look, just they look up to celebrities, and then you got the conspiracy theories then evolve up from that too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's very easy on the internet to put doctor after your name.
Sure. I could literally do it right now.
I can
put up a blog right now and say that if we don't get immunized, then we're going to be taken to Mars. And you know, and there unfortunately would probably be people out there that would read that and think, well, might be onto something here.
Right. So again, you know, when you're reading things, to think about, where did the information come from? Who's trying to gain from putting that information up? If they're trying to sell you something, then, you know, take it with a grain of salt, and just be better consumers of internet knowledge than we already are.
Now, aside from kind of the bad science, the internet and the media, you know, you mentioned celebrities, which a lot of the time we don't really realize the power that they do have because they have platforms and they can sway people's minds. But there are certainly religious exemptions as well that come into play here.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in New York State, for school, that is a religious exemption and a doctor's note for some medical. Kind of a medical reason a child can't have a vaccine. Those are the only two ways that kids who are not vaccinated can attend school.
Gotcha.
So there are very few religious exemptions at this point. New York State does not honor philosophical exemptions. Some states do, and they're seeing cases of measles particularly.
Right.
But no, New York State does not. You can't just say in New York State, I just don't agree with the concept, but I'm going to send my kid to school.
Well, I think a thing that people also don't understand is they think, well, this is only affecting my kid. So what if everyone else is right and this, you know, and getting immunized is a good thing and it's going to help them? Well, who cares? That's, you know, their kids are fine, whatever. But that's not the truth. If you don't get your kids vaccinated, that can impact others.
Let me give you one little scenario that we had talked about too. So with the cases that got sick in school, if you have a school, let's just give you an example, a kindergarten through sixth grade building, and you have somebody who gets the measles in kindergarten, if you have 50 other kids from K through six in that building that have not been vaccinated with the MMR, like, so let's say the disease was measles that they got, all of those kids have to be excluded from school for 21 days.
Really? Wow.
Because they're susceptible. It's like, I think the percentage is 90% of contracting the disease with the exposure. And you can't, in a building, you don't know who's gone to the drinking fountain. You don't know who's gone to the cat in the cafeteria. And measles can live up to 2 hours past the person being in the room. So it's very in depth. And there's a lot of people that don't know this law, this rule. And there's a lot to go with it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is we've had such great medical things happening in the United States. You know, just the level of care we have. We have kids in schools who have had transplants. Sure. We've had kids who have been recently treated for leukemia or other childhood cancers. So their immune systems are not what they should be. And vaccines for them, some may be contraindicated and some may just not be working well for them because of their immune status. So if my child, you know, who I love and cherish, who has just gone through something really hard, like chemotherapy, gets exposed because somebody else's child was not vaccinated and gets measles, that could be a death sentence for my child. You know, my child could end up in the hospital. Even chickenpox could do that to a child who's immune suppressed and who's unable to be vaccinated. So, yeah, and you talk to parents about that, and it's always, you know, kind of weighing, well, what do I feel is best for my child versus am I responsible for other people's children? But I think we live, work, and play together. I think we have, you know, some responsibility to the people around us as well.
Well, and some people's mindset also is, I'd rather my child get the disease, so like chickenpox or measles, because then they're going to have the best immunity by getting the disease as opposed to getting the vaccine. The problem that they don't realize is that kids can get not only just sick and be an annoyance to hospitalized to death, and they don't realize
chickenpox and measles, right?
Yeah. Well, but either of them, you can, you know, have scars from the chickenpox. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's fevers, there's a lot of different things with these that it's not just, you know, okay to let them get it because we all did as kids, because kids can die.
Sure. And that's the reason why science advances and why medicine advances. And, you know, it's, you kind of made the point of, you know, back when polio was a big thing, people would stand in lines. I guess to kind of bring it full circle to us today, that would be like if there was a miracle drug to cure cancer, which, you know, again, we're hoping that's going to be a thing. You know, I imagine it would be very similar, where people would be standing in lines to get that shot to make sure that they and their friends and their family members and their loved ones don't get cancer. But are these people, the people that say no to vaccinations, going to say, no, that's probably a trick? Like, that's going to be very interesting when we eventually will probably get there when that becomes a thing.
Mm-hmm. When we had the H1N1 pandemic back in 2009, people were pretty freaked out about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they were afraid. We didn't know how powerful a virus it was. We didn't know what the death rate was. We were getting all kinds of strange reports out of Mexico, where we first started getting reports. So it was really unknown. It turned out not to be a really lethal illness, but at the outset, it was unknown. They started vaccine development. And when we started giving vaccines in the county, as soon as vaccine was out, our lines were out the door.
Really? Yeah, yes, sure.
Because people perceived it as an imminent threat. Mm-hmm. So with these other, you know, other childhood illnesses, we've kind of lost that because we don't see them anymore. It's almost like you put yourself out of business a little bit, you know?
Nothing is more tragic than listen to a testimony from a parent whose child has died from a vaccine preventable disease mm-hmm. that they said they wish they'd only known.
I can only imagine the regret that they would feel. Sure.
Yep.
And that's why, again, you guys have come on today. And thank you for all the information. Kate Ott, the Director of Preventative Services for Ontario County. Christine Pullen, the Immunization Coordinator for Ontario County. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.